God wants to speak to us today, and he wants to share some important truth. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9. That's where we're going to start off today. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37-38. Hallelujah. How many of you know Jesus this morning? Oh, man, only seven of you. Okay. How many of you know Jesus? You see, listen, one of the things that is a sad thing that in the United States, I've read up some statistics, and again, statistics just give us an idea, but Barna.org, it's a research company, Barna Research, also the Pew Research, just companies that, you know, call people or ask people questions, and they take polls, and it is just staggering to know how many people claim Christianity in America, yet how low of a percentage that believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And it's like, man, what kind of Christian are they? You know, if there's a large percentage of people who consider themselves Christians, yet there's a low percentage of people believe that Jesus is the only way. I mean, people believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers, and yet they call themselves Christians. And it's just staggering. See, God has a plan for every single one of us, and that each of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we compel people that don't know Jesus to come to find, to know about Jesus, to know that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And so here, we're going to look at what Jesus is saying to his disciples, and the theme of this month is, it's a disciple's call. Jesus is calling and speaking to his disciples in verse 37, and he says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. The harvest is great. The harvest is vast. The harvest is huge. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray, listen to what Jesus is saying. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Father, we thank you for your word today. Let it speak to us. Let it change us. Let it do something in us, God. Let our minds be renewed by your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear Jesus. We find him speaking, and he's saying that there is a problem, but yet there's a solution. What's the problem? Anybody hate, you know, language arts class? Okay, what's the problem in this sentence? Jesus says that the harvest is truly plentiful. This is the problem. Laborers are few. If Jesus was here today, he would say, Camden County, the lost in Camden County is plentiful. It's huge. There's a lot of people that are lost. Here's the problem. The laborers are few. Yeah. What does that say to you? You live in Camden County? If you don't, then pick the county where you live in. The harvest truly is great, even in that county, yet the laborers are few. Does that do anything to you? Does that cut you? Does that make you, let's do a little self-examination. Are you one of those laborers that's laboring in that place because the harvest is great? Let's ask this question. Are you not one of those laborers? And this is the reason why Jesus is pointing out a problem. The laborers are few. You're not being one of those laborers. This is a problem that Jesus is referring to his disciples. He says, the harvest truly is plentiful. It's great, but the laborers are few. But then Jesus gives us a solution. Jesus is always the answer. Let's just look at it that way. Jesus is always the answer. He says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. See, the disciples were not supposed to be the only laborers. The people that are your teachers and your preachers, they're not the only laborers. Who's a laborer? Look, everybody look to the person to your right, look to the person to your left, and tell them you're a laborer. Come on, just say that, shout out loud, you're a laborer. Yes. Yeah, and then no, I'm not, you are. No, yeah, yes, you are. You are a laborer. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a laborer. It's not supposed to be just the disciples. Today, pastors, evangelists, they are not supposed to be the only laborers. We are all supposed to, I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about how we are Christ's ambassadors and we are ministers of reconciliation. So if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, matter of fact, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, but if that's you, raise your hand. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. All right, if you have your hands raised, you are a minister of reconciliation. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Whatever excuse you can come up with, it doesn't save you. Jesus saves you, but your excuse not to be a minister of reconciliation doesn't protect you. If you are a child of God, you are a minister of reconciliation. Well, I don't know how to minister. Well, give the Lord some time. Give him some time to work on you. All right. Give him some time to, you know, correct and change your attitude, correct and change your stinking thinking. Allow the mindset of Christ to overtake your thoughts and your mind and your life. And you'll find out and see that you are a minister of reconciliation. I do have something to offer. Yes, you do have something to offer. Jesus, the one who is inside of you. Jesus, who is your Lord and Savior. You have someone to offer to someone who is lost. In every problem, in every circumstance that we have, we are to seek God for the answer. Amen? Right? All around the world, God is calling his people. Here at Hidden Treasures Assembly of God, God is calling you. He's calling you. Now, we all know, some of you have these phones. Some of you don't have any of these, cell phones. But you do have a phone at home. And God is calling you to a closer, more intimate relationship. Just picture you go home today and whether it's your cell phone or your house phone rings and it's God. And God says, I want to talk to you. Will you put everything on hold? Will you go turn the oven off? Will you go turn the stove off? Will you tell the kids, hey, leave me alone. I got a phone call. You see, a lot of times we'll do that when it's, a person, someone at work. Well, I got to answer the phone because it's someone at work. Well, hello, God's calling. How many of you will put everything on hold just to talk to him? God is calling us. He's calling us to an intimate, more deeper relationship with him. And will we answer? And this is the problem. A lot of people are not answering his call. Can you go ahead, Joe, and put up slide one? How many of you guys remember the phone like this? Some kids are probably thinking, oh, I had a toy like that when I was a little kid. They were actually used. Those were telephones. Go to the next slide, Joe. How about that one? How many of you had one of those and you had like a 30-foot cord?
Yes.
You took that sucker into the kitchen and you're like this and you're stirring a pot and it's around the corner and someone has to pick it up to get underneath it. I mean, you love that 30-foot cord. What's missing on that? I'm going to get to it in a little bit, but you don't know when the phone rings, you don't know who's calling.
That's right.
So you always answered it.
Yep.
How many of you answered? You're like, oh, I should have let it keep ringing. Go to the next slide, Joe. How many of you remember that one? Now, not because you saw it in a movie, teenagers, but you actually went inside of one and you used it. Just last week, I didn't actually see a payphone like that, but I actually just saw the payphone, not the actual booth that you go into. And I was like, what? I've not seen one of those in a long time because they're gone. There used to be one outside of Dollar General, and I guess a bunch of kids would break it, and they just took it off. So, but see, God is calling us. And a long time ago, when the phone would ring, we would answer. But then, dun, 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 the invention, the great invention of caller ID. Now you know who's calling, and now you have a choice. Do you answer it or do you reject it? I think the problem with the fact that the laborers are few is because when God is calling, people know that God is calling you, and you reject the call. I mean, someone calls you, you don't want to answer it. You just push the button or you swipe it and you just don't accept the call. You reject the call. And people do that to God. God calls you to be a witness for him at work. Swipe, push the button, reject the call. God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to draw close to him. God wants you to study the word more intimately. But you know what? You swipe it. You just push the button and you reject the call. He's calling us to a more intimate relationship with him. He's calling us to a deeper moment with him. He's calling us to just sit and just hang out with him for a while. But we can't do that because we just reject his call. We reject the call, we swipe it, we push the button. And so when God is calling us, he's calling you to a more intimate. He's calling people into ministry. He's calling people to seek him, to seek first his kingdom. But many people are not answering. Come up with some reasons why people reject God's call. It's not my responsibility. Those are the people that think it's the only preachers and the evangelists and the teachers in a church. That's their responsibility. That ain't my responsibility. And that's wrong. Because again, like I said, every believer in Jesus Christ is a minister of reconciliation. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I do. Then you are a minister of reconciliation. What are you doing to prepare to minister to other people to reconcile them to God? Well, it's not my responsibility. Yes, it is your responsibility. Number two, I'm not ready. Well, then get ready. You got ready to come to church. You get ready. I'm not sure how long it takes you to get ready to go to work, but you get up and you get dressed and you go to work. You put your uniform on. Well, I'm not ready. Well, that's not good. That's not a good enough excuse. Get ready. Number three, I'm afraid. Fear of failure or timidity. I just don't know what to do. Don't worry about it. It's not you anyway. It's God working through you. It's God changing you. Well, I just don't know how to say, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. God will speak through you. And the interesting thing is God will use your talents. I'm a blabbermouth. I just like to talk. God will use this talent, but he'll give me the words to speak and I'll speak. So don't allow fear to stop you. Amen. Don't allow fear, again, to interfere with God's calling over your life. I mean, this is one of our visions, that you would discover God's purpose for your life. You discover it, you know it. God's been knocking on your door, trying to tell you, hey, I'm calling you to this. I'm calling you to kids ministry. You know you love kids. I'm calling you to do this. I'm calling you to tell people. You like to talk to people. You don't meet a stranger. You always meet somebody and it's just easy for you to talk to people. Man, that's something that God can use. He can use you to be an evangelist. He can use you to just meet up with somebody. And if you listen to him, you can walk into any store. You don't have to quote the whole Bible. You don't have to quote a whole passage. You can just go and just start talking to them and just letting them know that there's somebody who cares, and God sent you to tell them that there's somebody who cares. Another vision, that we develop godly character and relationships. It don't happen overnight, does it? No. God wants to work in us and through us for his glory. And lastly, people reject God's call because they say, he's not calling me. Well, he's not. Yes, he is, but you're just not answering. You keep pushing the button. You keep pushing him away. You keep rejecting him. But he is calling. Let's go to the next slide, Joe. Yep. There is a plus. There's a positive and a negative of this dumb caller ID thing. It gives you the choice of answering or rejecting the phone call. Now, you already had the choice. Now you just know who's calling you. Because when the phone rings, even if you didn't have caller ID, how many of you have phones that at home that doesn't have a caller ID? Anybody still have those antique phones? All right, you have a phone, but it doesn't show you who's calling. You have a choice to answer it or don't. So even when you see who's calling, you still have a choice to answer it or you don't. And God is speaking to us today, and he's saying, I am calling you. I'm calling you to a more intimate relationship with me. I'm calling you to a ministry. I'm calling you to use the talents that I've placed in you. And a lot of times people think, I just got the good end of the, you know, I just got good luck. I just was born with this talent. God placed it in you. God placed that talent and that natural ability inside of you. It's for a reason. It's for a purpose, to bring him glory, to bring those who are lost. You see, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. But God has given you a talent. He's given you the ability to work on his behalf so that people will come to know Christ. What do we do when God calls? Well, we're given the opportunity to choose. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read this passage of scripture because we find that Adam and Eve, they hid. This is the first time that man rejected God's call, ran away from God, and they hid. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And God said to the woman, or the devil said to the woman, God, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst, New Living Translation says in the middle, the tree in the middle of the garden. That's the one that God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Just being the conniving sneak that he is, just trying to get her to realize, yeah, you can eat it. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw with her eyes that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Big dummy. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They realized what was really going on. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And at a moment when Adam and Eve should have ran to God, walked to God, they didn't do that. It says Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. You see, when God is calling us, he's calling us closer to him. When God is calling us, he's calling us to his plan. He's calling us to his, for his purpose. But people reject his call. And when you reject his call, you hide. You walk away. You leave. You run. You don't want anything that that God has for you. And here, Adam and Eve, we find that it's the first time that man rejected God. That man, Adam and Eve, they went and hid from God. Now, you know what? We can never hide from God. Adam and Eve, they just had a dumb moment right there. You can't hide from God. God sees everything. God knows everything. He sees all that you do. He knows what you're thinking about right now. Heads go up. He knows what you're thinking about right now. We can never hide from God. We can choose to reject him, but that will cost us all of eternity in heaven if we choose to reject him. You don't have to go there, but 1 Samuel chapter 15, it talks about King Saul. In verse 23, he rebelled against God, and God snatched the kingdom away because he desired, King Saul desired to do what he wanted to do and not listen and abide to what God wanted him to do. Following God's instructions were not important enough for him to follow. When God calls many people, that call is not important enough to take. You know what I'm talking about. People call you. And I'm not talking about, you know, telemarketers or people that want to know, you know, what kind of television shows you're watching. I'm talking about people, your friends, your neighbor. They call you. You just don't have time for them. So what do? You push the button or you swipe or you reject the call. I'll call them later. Can't do that with God. We can look at Jonah. Jonah's life. He knows that if God calls, he needs to answer. What did he do? He totally went the opposite direction. And maybe you might not go to the opposite ends of the earth or the other side of the United States, but when God calls you, don't go to the other side of the room. Stay there. Stay there. Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is hearing. Samuel said that, and he was a little boy. But yet he heard his voice. He heard someone call him. He thought it was Eli. He went up to Eli and woke him up. I mean, Eli probably wanted to throw a pillow at him. Quit waking me up, son. But he realized, wait a minute, someone's calling him. It's God. And he told him, go ahead and next time you hear it, just say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And a lot of times when God is calling us, that's what we need to do. Put everything on hold. Maybe you're driving. And if you can't, pull over. If you can, pull over. Say, God, speak, for your servant is listening. Think about this. For those of you that have jobs, you will be faithful, hopefully, trustworthy, and you'll do what your boss has instructed you to do. And a lot of times, we as people, we put more emphasis on our bosses or our man more than what God says. I mean, just think of it. If you're on call, course, if you're a doctor, this is a prime example. You're on call. The hospital calls you, and you look at your phone and your pager. Whatever. Pagers were something that people used to own. Kids, it was a little small square thing, and it would beep or vibrate, and you'd pick it up, and there was a phone number, and you actually had to call that phone number and say, "Hey, what do you want?" So you had to find a phone. So that's what pagers are. But you know, you get paged, and what do you do as a doctor? You got to respond to that. That's like, you know, the bat phone. You have to respond to it. You know, the sad thing is that we get people that call us, if it's the boss or somebody else, or if it's the missus, the real boss. And we answer that. We put more emphasis in that. I mean, you examine yourself. Do you put more emphasis than that than when God calls you? Think about it. When God is calling you to take a step of faith, when God is calling you into the ministry, some of you, I really believe, we've been praying for this for over 2 years, that God will call people in this church into the ministry. That's why we have that core leadership class. We're going on our second year, and I'm excited because God is calling people into the ministry. But I believe that there are people in this church that God is calling, and you either got cotton in your ears, your finger in your ears, and la, 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 or you're swiping. You're rejecting his call. Stop. And just think about how many times when people call you, you don't reject their phone call. But when God calls you, you reject his call. What does that say? What does that say about your heart? What does that say? Does your heart break for what breaks God's heart? Are you truly wanting God? Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's a sad thing. That we put more emphasis on when people call, but when God calls us, are we willing to press pause on everything that's going on to say, "Father, speak, for your servant is listening"? No one likes to admit their rebellion towards God. I don't want to admit that, but I know that there are many times that God has, you know, tried to get my attention, and I'm so focused on a bunch of other things. A little while ago, as a matter of fact, when you come up for prayer, don't kneel on this side. Shannon said, before service, don't let it bother you. Just let it go. It's hard, but I almost had water all over the sanctuary, and that was my fault. But you know, during the praise and worship, I was just playing and trying not to focus on it. I'm like, "God, were you trying to get my attention? Like, hey, big dummy, turn the water off. You left the water running." And I wasn't, because I was in the middle of doing what I needed to do. No one likes to admit their rebellion towards God, but there are areas of rebellion where we rebel against God. Let's see if you're guilty. And this morning they were talking about it, tithes. Are you rebellious with tithes? You know, this is something that God required. It's not even in the law. It was established before the law. And people say, you know, nowadays, well, tithe isn't in the New Testament. Okay, if you're worried about 10%, all right, Jesus says give it all. So now you got to worry about all 100%. If you're having a problem with giving God 10%, you're going to have a big problem when you find out that Jesus says, "Give me your all." So do you rebel with your, you know, with your offerings? Do you rebel in giving your tithes, returning back to God a tithes? Because you don't give tithes, you bring, you return back to what's his. Are you in rebellion towards God about not going to share Jesus to others? Well, I just don't want to. Well, you're choosing, you don't want to, and that's rebellion. Do you rebel towards God that you serve man, you serve money, you serve idols? It's easier to serve that than God, so you don't serve God. Here's another one. Are you rebellion towards God that you choose not to love your wife, or you choose not to honor your husband? There are many areas that if we think about and we examine our hearts and examine our lives, the Holy Spirit will point areas in our lives where we are rebellious towards God. If you're in rebellion towards your parents, you're in rebellion towards God. If you are in rebellion towards your boss, you are in rebellion towards God. Because whenever you sin against God first and foremost. Think about that. There's a calling on our lives, a purpose, a distinct reason for living this Christian life. And it is a calling that only God can give. Can you go to the next slide? I think it's the last slide, Joe, please. There's a calling on our lives, a purpose, a distinct reason for living this Christian life. It is a calling that only God can give. It is a calling that only God can equip us to succeed. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. If God is calling you to, he will equip you for it. And it says in the verse, may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. It's an amazing thing that God wants to work in us. He calls us and he chooses to work in us. What a prayer. The prayer is, may he produce in you. May he work in you. May he equip you for the work of the ministry. May he work in you and produce in you every good thing that pleases him through the power of Jesus Christ. I am so glad it's not through my power. It's not through my strength. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. That he will want, that he will work in you, because it is his desire to work through you. The calling of God on our lives must become more important. Must become more important than when someone calls. Oh, hold on. I gotta take this phone call. And it's Joe from down the street, or it's somebody from work, or it's just a friend wanting to know if you want to go, you know, if you want to go to the movies, or if you want to go out to eat. And it's a phone call. Yet when God is calling you, man, we're just quick to just put the phone down. The call that God has on our lives must become more important than anything else. And I get it. We got to have a job, because we got to put food on the table. We got to put clothes on our kids' back. We got to pay, you know, for the mortgage and pay car insurance. I know. I understand. We got to have a job. But while we have that job, I mean, just think about it. The doctors, those in the military, pilots, administrators, moms and dads, we all have to surrender to God. We all have jobs. We all have different responsibilities. But our main responsibility is to surrender our lives to serve Jesus Christ. Why? Because Camden County, the harvest in Camden County is great. But Jesus says the laborers are few. And you know what? That's still the same problem. It is still the same problem. It is still the same issue. The laborers are few. So Jesus gives us an important answer, an important solution. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. How many of you are praying? How many of you are praying this prayer? God, send me. God, if you want to use me, use me. God, I pray that you will use my other brothers and sisters in Christ in Camden County to reach the lost. You know, I'm not sure if God is calling you to do this, but it's a good idea. At work, have some time of prayer. And pray for the people in your work. Well, I don't want to be seen. I don't want anybody. Well, that's okay. Arrive to work a little bit early. Sit in your car for a couple of minutes and start to pray. Students, you know, those of you that have, you know, lockers, while you're walking in the hallway, just put your hand on the locker. Just, you know, no one knows. Everyone's just seeing you. Put your hand on the locker and begin to pray for those students whose locker that is. Lord, I pray that these students will come to know you, Lord Jesus. Protect them and watch over them. I pray that they'll make wise choices, that they'll come to know you. So many things that we can do for the work of the ministry if we make ourselves available and say, God, Father, speak, for your servant hears. So pilots, doctors, military, those in the military, administrators, moms, dads, we all have to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And it is God that wants to work in us. It is God that will equip us. So we all have this common purpose, the calling of God on our lives. And this doesn't mean that I have to leave my profession of being a dad. Doesn't mean that you have to leave your profession of being in the military or wherever you work. You don't have to leave that profession. God can use you there. And if you're listening, you can have a Bible study during lunch. Just you and some other person over lunch, and you just open up your Bible and you start talking to them about what God has spoken to you. You don't have to look all holy roly and, you know, stand on top of a table and start preaching to everybody in lunch. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. But the question is, are you saying, Lord of the harvest, Jesus, if you want to use me, you can use me. Lord of the harvest, I feel like I'm the only person on this job site. I feel like I'm the only person in this office that's a believer. God, would you send other Christians to this office? God, would you send other Christians to this a factory, to this company? God, would you send other Christians to this platoon? Father, I pray that you will just, Father God, use me if you can. Use me for your glory. I want people to know you, God. Are you coming to him with a prayer like that? God, I got teachers that don't know you. God, use me to impact the lives of teachers. I firmly believe that students can impact the life of a teacher and lead them to know Jesus Christ. winning someone to the Lord, age doesn't have a limit. That doesn't stop somebody from coming to know the Lord. Take a moment to examine yourself. What are you doing to be a laborer of the harvest? What are you doing to be an effective laborer for the kingdom of God? Shannon, can you go get Christine and the children? And those of you that are going to get baptized, can I ask you to just quietly go and get ready? And you can come into the fellowship hall, and someone will lead you up to the baptism. We're gonna have a baptism here shortly. Today, there are some believers in Christ who want to be baptized, who want to follow in the steps of Jesus. My prayer for them is this right here. Man, may the God of peace equip them with every good for everything good for doing God's will, and that they and that God would work in them what is pleasing to the Father through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. That is something that we ought to pray for ourselves. God, use me. Lord, equip me with everything good for your will. That's the prayer. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means in my life, through my life. So take a moment, examine yourself. What am I doing to be an effective laborer for the kingdom of God? For the harvest is great. There are people that I know who are working hard to excel in their profession. Rightly so. They want to graduate one day. They want to improve in their field. They want to work hard. But what are Christians doing for the purpose of sinners coming to know Jesus? How are they playing the part of being a laborer in the harvest? Know this. We are praying, and we'll continue to pray. And we'll pray to God to send forth laborers, because we see and we know that there are lost in Camden County, and there are people who need to know Jesus. All who are believers in Christ, get ready when he calls you. So when he calls, answer the phone. When he calls, don't reject it. When he calls, say, "Speak, Father, for your servant is listening." Take a book with you. Start writing down. Get some post-it notes. Start writing down what he's saying to you so you don't forget. A lot of times, for those of us, for those of you that really do a good job at not forgetting things, you really do a great job at not forgetting milk and the loaf of bread and a stick of butter. But yet, when God is calling us and he's wanting us to do something, somehow the spiritual things got to be more important than a gallon of milk, ladies and gentlemen. The souls who are lost got to be more important than answering a phone call and finding out what you're going to do on the weekend. So I leave you with this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God." These are people that are answering the call and living their life, that Jesus would be known. Verse 10, "And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment." There are people who are lost in Camden County. How many of you would say, "Father, speak to me, your servant is hearing. I want to be a laborer"? Because right now, God is calling. Because we've been praying. And God is trying to get people's attention to be a laborer in the harvest. So I know God is calling you. How many of you will answer, and how many of you are listening?